Let us pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you that we have the privilege of being here together and singing of your love, singing of the work that Christ has accomplished. We're grateful, Lord, that we can look to your word together. And Father, I pray that in this time it's your word that is made known, it's your word that goes out. And I ask for your grace that you would allow your word to go out in the power of your Spirit. For without him, our time here is useless. Without him applying your word and truth to our hearts, nothing can be accomplished. And so, Lord, empower your people. Bring to us the power of your word. And glorify us in all that we say. Glorify yourself in all that we say and do in response to your word. I thank you. Amen. If you would take your Bibles and turn to 1 John chapter 2, we'll be looking at verses 7 through 11. 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 through 11. I want to tell you a story of two experiences that a street evangelist had. During a city event where many people gathered for this event, this man went out and was sharing the gospel with those who gathered, handing out gospel tracts and talking to people about their need for salvation and the person and work of Jesus Christ. And he pressed people to repent and believe upon Christ to be saved. And at one point he asked an individual if they were a Christian, and that individual said that he was. It's America, so many people make all kinds of professions of faith. And so he pressed and he began to talk to the man about sin and about God as a holy and just judge. He talked to the man about the person and work of Jesus Christ. And he asked the man, "Have you repented of your sin and put your faith in Jesus alone?" And with a great big smile, the man said, "Yes, I have." And the man went on to tell the evangelist about the church that he attended and about when he came to trust in Christ as his Savior and his Lord. And they had a great conversation together, and the man thanked the evangelist for being out there and sharing the gospel and caring for people's souls. And the man did everything he could to encourage the evangelist in that moment. Well, then not too long later, after the conversation with that man had ended, the evangelist was talking to a woman. And he asked this woman if she was a Christian, and she said that she was. And so again, just like with the first man, he went on to talk about sin and talk about God's justice and holiness and the person and work of Christ. And when he asked the woman, "Have you repented of your sin and put your faith in Christ?" Well, the whole time the man was speaking, the woman was quiet and patient, but you could tell that she was growing in irritation. And so when she had the opportunity to speak, she told the evangelist that she believed everything that he had said. But why would he be out there and sharing with others about his faith? Because faith is a very personal thing. And how dare he go out and press his beliefs on others? And as she went on in the conversation, she did everything she could to degrade the evangelist and discourage him with venom in her voice. And in her words. Now, both individuals professed faith in the gospel that the evangelist was preaching. Both said they were Christians. The first man, he delighted in coming across a brother, wanting nothing more to encourage the brother and love on him. The woman, on the other hand, though professing to be a believer, could do nothing more than hate on the evangelist. Now tell me, of the two, which one of them demonstrated the genuineness of their faith? Now, we could say and want to give the woman the benefit of the doubt and say maybe she had an extraordinarily bad day and somehow just had to get her frustrations out and just wasn't even listening to the man and just I don't know what kind of scenario would cause a believer to respond to someone sharing the gospel in such a way. I'm trying here, though. I don't know. But barring anything that we might be able to come up with to put the best spin on it, which of the two demonstrated the genuineness of their faith? We would say the man who loved on the evangelist, right? We see here in 1 John that the practice of love for our brothers and sisters in Christ demonstrate the truth of our profession of faith. Because where there is no love, there is no true Christianity. Now, as we pick up the text here in chapter 2, verse 7, as we continue here in our study, John is beginning to talk about something else. He's moving on. And he makes it very clear throughout his letter when he's moving on to something else, when he addresses his recipients with this term of endearment, beloved, which shows his care and love for those whom he's writing to. And then not only does he address them as beloved, but then he says, I write this to you, or I've written this. And he shows that he's moving on. And yet, even though he's moving on to a new topic, he's really not a new topic, but he's building on what he's already discussed. He's building on what he said about keeping God's commands and the ideas of being in the light or being in darkness. And so as we think of this and we see, we remember what we've already read in 1 John in chapter 1, verses 5 through 6, when he says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So that being the case, John tells us we must walk in the light as he is, God is, in the light. And then chapter 2, verses 3 through 5 we read, and by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. And so, as John is moving on in his letter and building off what he's already said, we see that in this passage that we're looking at this morning, that John has gone from talking about keeping God's commands in a general sense to now he's going to bring it in and point to the specific command to love. And we'll see here the ideas of being in the light or in the darkness is extended to whether or not we love or hate our brothers and sisters in Christ. So let's read our text here for this morning. Again, 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 through 11. Beloved, I'm writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So we see here as we look at this text, we see in verse 7 that John says he's not writing a new command, but really the exact opposite of that. He's writing an old command. Matter of fact, it's the command that they've had from the beginning. Now, what does he mean from the beginning? Well, what does he mean even? What is this command that he's talking about that they've heard from the beginning? Well, I think the context makes it very clear. He's talking about the command to love. And so when have they heard this command? What beginning is he talking about? Well, some go as far back as to point to God's law, saying from the beginning of the God's covenant with his Old Testament people, the Old Covenant, right there in the beginning, there was this command to love, and that's true. If we look to the law, we see that clearly. That God commanded love for himself and love for others. And all we have to do is look at the Ten Commandments, right? And the first set of the Ten Commandments is about how we love God. We're to have no other gods, make no idols, not take God's name in vain, and keep the Sabbath. And then the latter commands are about loving others. Obey your, honor your parents. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not covet. God's commands about loving God and loving others. And then we see, too, also in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, it says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." God commanded his people, love God with your entire self, with all that you are. Love God with your whole being. And then Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. "You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." It's true. I mean, we have to just go back to the Old Testament law. Go back to the Old Covenant. It's clear. Love is the command. Love sums up the commandments. So, in this sense, it's not a new command. Though, I'm not completely sure that this is what John is referring to here when he talks about being from the beginning. I think what John is referring to is that this is the command that they already knew, they had already heard, because they heard it since the gospel was first preached. They heard it from the beginning of their Christian walk, from the beginning of the heralding of the gospel. It is the same message, the same word that they have heard. So it's not a new command, it's an old command. Yet verse 8 says, at the same time, it is a new command, John says that he's writing. So how can John say then that this is both an old and yet a new command? How can John say he is not writing a new command and then say he is writing a new command? Well, I think we see a similar thing in John's gospel. When Jesus is talking to his disciples in the upper room in John 13, Jesus gives his disciples the command to love one another, which again, clearly, as we looked at the law, this was not a new command for them. As they were growing up and as they were in the synagogues, they would have known that they were commanded to love one another. And yet we read in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 34, Jesus said, "A new command I give you, that you love one another." Again, we've looked at the law. And so, if this is the command that had been given already before, how can Jesus say this is a new command? Well, I think it's in the sense that he was telling them how to love. So again, John 13, verse 34, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another." And how were they to love one another? He says, "Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another." So in the sense that love was no longer this striving to keep these external commandments, but instead now, one loved as they followed Jesus Christ and followed his example of love. I think that's the sense in which this commandment was new for Jesus' disciples. So then as we look at John's letter here, as he's writing this command that's not new but old, yet at the same time, there's some aspect of it that makes it new for them, we should ask ourselves then, what is the aspect that John is pointing to that makes it new for his readers? Well, John says in verse 8, which, referring to the new commandment, which is true, the commandment, the new commandment is true, John says, in him, in Jesus. Jesus who fulfilled the law. Jesus who obeyed all of the commands perfectly. Jesus whose example we are to follow, that we are to love as he loved. But not only did John say to his recipients that this commandment is true in Jesus, but then he also says to them, this command is true in him and in you. And why is it true, not just in Jesus, but also in John's readers? Also in those who trusted in Christ alone for their salvation, those who heeded the apostles' proclamation of the gospel. Why was it true in them? Because they themselves had Christ in them through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So John can say, as he does here, that the darkness is passing away. It's being dispelled by the light that is Christ, because the light is already shining in them. So that's the transformation that we discussed last week, as we read of God's love that is demonstrated in the person and work of Jesus Christ. That as one obeyed the commands, God's love was perfected in us. So we are changed from the inside out. We have Christ dispelling the darkness of our law-breaking, the darkness of our impurity, the darkness of our lack of love, so that we conform to who Christ is, that we are shaped into His image. We follow His example, as we read back in verse 6, that we must walk in the same way in which Jesus walked. And as the darkness is passing away more and more, as the light that is already shining dispels that darkness more and more, as we walk like Christ more and more, as we love like Christ more and more, this is the change that true saving faith brings about. This is true conversion that we see here. This is true Christianity. This transformation, this change, this love for one another. This being the case, and with everything else we've read here in 1 John, we can see then how the following verses are absolutely true. Verse 9 says, "Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness." You say you're trusting in Christ alone for your salvation. You say you're a Christian. You say Christ dwells in you. You say you are in the light, but you hate your brother? And by saying brother here, I think it's very clear what John is getting at. He's referring to the brethren, the fellowship of believers, those who are brothers and sisters in Christ. Though if we understand Jesus' teaching on love and loving your neighbor, we know that this does extend to whoever is in our path to be loved. But there is an emphasis on loving the brethren, on loving our brothers and sisters in Christ. There is a priority there. If we can't even love each other here, if we can't serve one another here, if we can't sacrifice for one another here and put the other's interest above our own here, what makes us think we're going to go out in the world and love the world? If we can't love like Christ to each other here, why do we think we're going to go out into the world and be like Christ? But to claim to be in the light, you must love your brother. Because if you hate them, you actually remain in darkness. So then where's the evidence that the darkness is being dispelled? Where's the evidence that Jesus is shining in you? In what way are you becoming more like Jesus if you don't walk as He walked? Hating your brother, you're not walking like Christ. Christ is the light that shines. God is light, but you remain in darkness. You might claim to be in the light, but you're really in the dark. Now you might say, Scott, then are you saying that if I've hated someone, or if even moving forward I come to a point where I act very hateful towards someone, that I'm not really a Christian? That I'm not really saved? Is that what you're saying? Well, no, but we got to examine that. We might struggle, and we may even fail to love as we should. But what have we already seen in 1 John? A true believer does not ignore or deny their sin, But the believer confesses their sin. They deal with their sin. They repent of their sin, trusting that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. We have an advocate with the Father, remember, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, who is by faith our righteousness. Remember that. What a glorious hope that is when we fail and when we fall. But whoever continues to practice sin, practice disobedience to God's commandments, whoever continues in unrepentance, who continues to hate and therefore walks in darkness, the practice of their life is darkness, then it raises the question, have you truly been saved? Have you truly put your faith in Jesus Christ alone for salvation? Because where's the transformation? If you walk in darkness, how can you claim to have fellowship with God who is light? Now, John made it pretty clear, those two things, walking in darkness and having fellowship with God, cannot go together. That's not true Christianity. Verse 10 then tells us that the one who loves remains in the light. It's not the one who hates that's in the light, but the one who loves, the one who obeys the commandment to love. When the habitual practice of one's life is love, then the one who professes to abide in God, who professes to have faith and fellowship with God, shows their profession to be true. Because they are one who keeps God's commands. And the one who loves like Christ, in him there is no cause for stumbling. Because the true light, Jesus Christ, is shining in him. Darkness, that gives reason for us to stumble, and that makes sense to us, right? I mean, what can you see in the dark? But when the light is shining, when it's shining in someone, then in him there is no cause for stumbling. Now the question then is raised, for whom is there no cause for stumbling? Some argue that it's the one in whom the light is shining in. In him there is no cause for stumbling. Nothing that's going to cause him to fall into sin. As he's obeying God's commands, as he's loving as Christ loves, there's nothing that's going to cause him to fall in contrast to God's will and God's commands. I tend to lean towards it, meaning that in the one who loves, that he will not cause others to stumble. Love, biblical, Christ-like love, is selfless. It thinks of others. What is best for others? How can I serve others? What is their needs? What are their interests? Love is not self-serving, but sacrificial. So when we love like Christ, there is nothing in us that will cause others to stumble. We will not be the cause of others falling into sin. Because we will care about their needs. We will care about the things that are tempting to them. We will want to come alongside of them and help them and serve them instead of just serving ourselves and not caring for the welfare of others, whether their physical welfare or their spiritual welfare. And then verse 11 says, but, so in contrast to the one who loves his brother and so abides in the light, in contrast to that is the one who hates his brother and so is in darkness. And not only is he in darkness, but we see in verse 11 here, he is also one who walks in darkness and he does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Listen, what we're seeing here is the test of true conversion. That's what this is. It's the test of the genuineness of our profession of faith. This is where a lack of assurance lies, when we don't keep God's commands, when we hate, when we are in darkness, even if we claim to have fellowship with the God who is light. The pattern of his life, if it's darkness, then that one is lost. He does not know where he is going. He's in the dark, and so the darkness has blinded him. you can't see without light, right? That's only common sense for us, right? Light must guide your way. And if one is not living by the light of Christ, if the love of Christ is not the controlling factor in one's life, then what do they have as a controlling factor for them? Nothing more than their own feelings and opinions, giving direction to themselves, thinking they know where they are going, but they're in the dark. They cannot see. And so as their different prejudices come up and jealousies and responding to the people around them just by how they feel and what their desires are in the moment. And one wanders around blind, yet thinks they know. That one then is deceived. And if that's us, then we're deceived. Just as we see in verse 9, the one who says that they are in the light, they claim to be a Christian, to have fellowship with God, yet they hate their brother. They're not concerned about what's best for him. They're just wrapped up in their own desires and their own interests. That's what characterizes their lives. Then they are blind, and they do not show the evidence that they have truly been converted. Again, loving others, obeying God's commands is not how we become saved. It's not how we get saved. We're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. But obeying God's commands, that being the practice of one's life, loving our brothers and sisters in Christ, that being the practice of one's life, is the evidence that we have been saved. Always want to make sure we get that distinction across. And so as we think on these verses, I think we have to do some critical thinking. Because as we think on these verses, I think it can be very easy for us to say, well, no, I don't hate my brother. No, of course I love my brother. And think we're good to go without really examining what the scriptures are saying and examining our hearts. I think in some of the concepts that we read here in John and how he equates different things together, that if darkness is nothing more than the absence of light, and how John has brought the idea of darkness and light to bear on the ideas of love and hate, if darkness is just the absence of light, then hatred really can be just the absence of love. And so we can go on thinking that we do not hate our brother just because we don't have any feelings of aversion or disdain towards them or animosity towards them. But do we love them? What does it mean to love? And not just love, but to love as Christ loved. Because, see, John doesn't give any middle ground in this. He doesn't talk about the one who loves being in the light and the one who hates being in darkness and then the one who's kind of in between somewhere. And what does that guy look like? There's none of that. It's the one who loves and the one who hates. They're the only options that's here before us. So if we say, well, I don't hate, can we say that we love and love like Christ? Do we love one another right here in North Valley Baptist Church? We who are brothers and sisters in Christ, we are in the family of God together. We have this fellowship together. Do we love one another? And loving like Christ, well, how did Christ love? Certainly it was a sacrificial love, right? He literally sacrificed himself. Christ, as we read in Scripture, came not to be served. If anyone came and could come to be served, I mean, it was him, right? The one who is the Son of God, God in the flesh. But he came to be served. And we look at the example in the Gospel of John when he's there in the upper room with his disciples. What does he do? Everyone's sitting around waiting for somebody else to take up the job that nobody wants, which is the job of washing feet. Because they had just been fighting about who's the greatest in the kingdom. And the one who's the greatest, he doesn't stoop down low to wash dirty, nasty feet. And what does Jesus do? Jesus, in that moment, takes on the role of the lowliest servant, though he was the master of everyone in the room. And he washed their feet. Sure. I don't hate you. But do I love you? Do we love one another with a genuine, sincere love? As we are united together in this fellowship, in fellowship with this God who so loved us that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Do we love one another? Whoever says he's in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you. First of all, we thank you for the great love in which you have shown us through Jesus Christ. We're so grateful that you sent Christ into the world to die for us. We're so grateful that we who believe can say along with the Apostle Paul that the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. And what love is this that you would die for sinners? What love is this that the infinite person of the God-man would lay down his life to bring many sons who only deserved wrath, and yet he laid down his life to bring us to glory? We thank you for such love. We thank you for the depths of love. And so we who profess Christ as our Lord and Savior, we who profess to know you, let that profession here at North Valley Baptist Church show itself to be true in all that we say and do, that we would love one another with genuine love, that we would love just as Christ loved us. And Father, then that the people of the outside world would see us and our love for one another and the deep forgiveness and compassion and servanthood that we have towards one another, and the world would see the difference. It would not be able to say anything more that we are genuine followers of Jesus Christ. Let that be true here. Let that be true in each one of us for your honor and your glory. I thank you. Amen.